open. Smile even though it's breaking. When there are clouds in the sky, you'll get by. If you smile through your fear and sorrow, smile and maybe tomorrow you'll see the sun come shining through for you. Light up your face with gladness. Hide every trace of sadness. Although a tear may be ever so near, that's the time you must keep on trying. Smile, what's the use of crying? You'll find that life is still worthwhile if you just smile.
Welcome, everyone, to another edition of Grief Chat, and we are thrilled our host, Mitch Carmody, is not in studio, but he is on the phone with us today, and we are thrilled to chat it up with him. And we are talking, of course, during this very strange pandemic time, and we're thrilled also to have on the phone with us Dr. David Carroll. He's a clinical psychologist, and we are going to talk about some of the issues that we face given we are kind of isolated. Welcome to both of you.
Well, yeah, thank you, Mo. Great to be here again.
So, Mitch, let's start it off with you, please. How are things in your world?
In my personal world, is great. Things are going well. As far as the grief world and participating and helping others, it's been a challenge because of the isolation, that everything is being done differently. People are doing Zoom meetings now. When you have crossed the country all summer long, there have been, you know, large organizations holding bereavement conferences that have been never been canceled in 30 years, and they're having to cancel it and go virtual and do Zoom meetings, and monthly meetings for support groups have gone to virtual Zoom meetings, and a lot of telephone calls and one-on-one Facebook groups and discussion groups and share groups. And so everything's changed in there. My whole calendar has been pretty much wiped out as far as traveling anywhere. But there's benefits to that, too. You can reach a lot, a whole different segment of people by doing what we're doing. We're learning a lot of tools, I think, during this whole time.
So not everything is terrible.
No. It's challenging, but it's not terrible. It's just in grief, it's a different form of terrible, and you know, it's a different normal now. It's not a new normal. It's just different right now, and we're gonna gain some things from this, and pick up some new tools that we didn't really have before or really need before.
Well, Dr. Carroll, let's get you involved in this conversation, please, because I think a lot of people are struggling mentally, you know, worried about losing their jobs, or they have lost their job, worried about paying their mortgage. Just kids, I think, have a different kind of angst from, you know, their routine is upset, they're not seeing their friends, school is so different. We're worried when we go to the grocery store. Are we afraid of, you know, touching this or that? Those are all real things, aren't they? And even for people that perhaps don't struggle with mental health issues, I would assume that you are seeing an uptick in the general population.
Well, I'll jump right in. The primary core issue is loss, and loss can be construed as trauma. And when we don't have our regular connections with people, and certainly not only the financial concern of am I able to have a paycheck to keep myself sound and my family sound, we also get a lot of our social connection from work. And so everything is compounded with a certain form of relationship loss. What I see in my family, what I see in myself, what I see in my clients is an increase in agitation, anxiety, wanting to connect. They're not used to this type of isolation and loneliness. And so we get activated. And when we get activated, there can be increased conflict in relationships just because we feel so unsettled and disconnected and, in a sense, insecure, because we all thrive on safe and secure relationships.
You know, I like that word that you used. We are all feeling it. Expound upon that. Are you seeing people that you had not seen before?
Well, my practice is a little limiting. I'm not taking new intakes because I've just been coping with some cancer that I've been combating for the last, since December. And so I'm still seeing people, but the people that I'm seeing, you can tell that there's increased unsettledness just because of the loss of connection.
Well, we certainly are sorry to hear that. We hope that you are moving forward in the right direction.
No, it's good. In a weird kind of way, people are connecting with me out of concern, and it's nice to have that connection. How do we help people deal with that loss? How do we get them to feel that connection? You know, we feel connection with people not just by conversations. It is by looking at them, facial expression. It is by touch. And so how do we promote a sense of security and attachment with others when we're in this social isolation? That's necessary just to survive the species right now. Zoom and other formats where you can see somebody's face are really crucial to begin to get that feeling of connectedness. And so when I do telehealth, it is nice seeing my clients, seeing their facial expression, being able to connect. When we're talking with family members, it's nice to see that as well. But the touch part becomes difficult. And one of the things that I promote and encourage people to do, and therapists talk about this as a transition object. So, for example, I have things that my children have given me. Clients have things that their family members have given them. And I encourage them when they're doing FaceTiming, when they're doing Zoom, when they're doing Google Duo or whatever you're doing to connect, to make sure that you have that transition object around so that you can actually touch it, and that can help build a bridge for a connection. And so there, that's really important to do.
Great advice.
Wow, that's amazing, David. Is that like a teddy bear?
Yes. So when I was in the hospital, close friend of one of my children brought a nice little dog that looked like my own Layla, a wonderful little pet that I have. And so when we get together in Zoom, I have that dog right there, and it's a nice fluffy animal, and I can touch it. And that actually fuels and increases that sense of connection with that person, and it's very soothing. And I really recommend that people incorporate that when they're doing these types of online contacts and video conferencing, to incorporate this experience of touch, which is so important with our connection with others.
Can you actually release oxytocin by practice of touch? It's not a real cat or a real pet, but does the body know the difference? I mean, it feels, it actually releases those hormones of happiness?
Well, I can only speak for myself, but what we're talking about is a felt sense within the body. If you can tune into your body, you know, just sense how you're feeling, which we all can, you can experience a certain soothing, a calming that goes on, which is oxytocin and other neurotransmitters that bring about this feeling of closeness and security and self-soothing and goodwill.
So it really sounds like there's collateral blessings that we can find what's happening in how we're reaching out to people. That this is there a difference in the countenance and the facial expressions of transparency? Is it the same as in physical space, or do you think is it even better? Maybe people feel more at ease in their own private space, and can you see their facial expressions the same, or is it different?
Well, I know that when I do sessions with people in teleconferencing, they usually have the camera pretty close. I can actually see their facial expressions better than in the office, when we might be separated by 5 feet of space or 6 feet of space. And so when you can see the smiles, you can see the eye muscles, you can see whether their facial expression is relaxed or tense. And those are all going to affect the person who's seeing that. And you can feel it in your body. You just have to pay attention to it. So I think the video conferencing with many of the people that I see in an interesting way has enhanced the connection and being able to tune in to their own experience, which, you know, can be more attuned. You also have prosody, listening to people's tones of voice, soothing, calming. All these things are very important. If we understand that most of our communication comes from our facial expression and our tone of voice, we can do many things to help other people, other family members who are having a tough time, clients that we see, any of those things. And it's having that awareness and using it and applying it, which can be very soothing and help people cope with the loss that most of us, or all of us, are experiencing right now with decreased physical connection with others.
Dr. Carroll, I have a question. I know a lot of people in nursing homes are struggling right now. They don't necessarily have the online technological capabilities that you're talking about to chat with their family. What would you say is something we could do to help that group of people?
The caregivers that are in these nursing homes are going to be primary in being able to help with feeling safe and secure. People do have cell phones. I worked in long-term care in a long-term care facility for many years. The facilities, at least in the metro area, do have a lot of capability to do video conferencing. A lot of people do have cell phones. In the facility that I worked at, there was funding for people to have these types of connections to do video conferencing, to do FaceTiming. So it is available. Somebody wants to find out what's happening in a long-term care facility where they have a loved one, they could certainly find out what type of FaceTiming capability there is and to be able to expand that if at all possible.
Mitch, do you have anything to add?
With the increased deaths in some of the senior facilities, that a lot of people are not going to be having funerals until July or August. And you know, how does that affect the family when they cannot really gather to mourn together?
I mean, you have to use what you have available to you. Take a look at what people are doing on FaceTime and Zoom and talking to each other. You do have virtual meetings with people to connect. It just takes somebody to organize and schedule and to connect with each other. It's pretty horrible and not very, very effective grieving alone. You want to grieve with other people, meaning you want to see them. You want to see their face. You want to hear their voice. And it is possible and second best, but you can still do these things online as much as you possibly can.
And if that can't be done, my question is, like, because I talked to the funeral director who will be joining us later, that because there's a choice. They're doing virtuals and people are doing that. It actually, it reaches out to a larger audience than even anticipated that maybe could not participate before but can now virtually. But for the one that says, no, we're not doing anything, we'll contact you in a couple months, 3 months, we're going to do a celebration of life later, but there's nothing after that. What do these people do in between time that don't have any celebration of life, no virtual meetings or anything? Just know that downstream they have a funeral in a couple months.
If that was to happen to me, I would make sure that I would find the individuals that I'm close to, and I would make sure that I would be spending time with them, doing video conferencing and talking to them about the loved one, reminiscing about the life and what they brought to it. Just because you don't have a facility-sponsored event, it doesn't mean that you can't go out and create those connections on an individual basis on your own, and one should be very conscious that they can do that.
I would like to add something. Okay. I'm old. My mother is in a long-term nursing home, and my niece set up a photo device that we can download pictures from Facebook, and my mom is able to see these pictures. And she called me yesterday afternoon, and somebody had set this up for her, and she's absolutely delighted to see pictures of her grandchildren, her great-grandchildren, that she has not seen in 3 months. She's just so happy to be able to look at recent pictures. So that I think was one way of helping isolated seniors in residential homes, that of keeping them intact with their family.
Yeah, it's a great device because it can be updated every day. People can update new pictures. The nurse, someone, the caregiver brings in, says, okay, we got some new pictures today for you. So instead of watching a Zoom thing or like that, there's other things they can do, just like this little photo frame.
Well, and I think what you both are saying is that we should try to stay in contact with people. In this is just the world we're in right now. So the best way that we can do that.
Little things, like I sent out 50 envelopes of dried sourdough starter to people on Facebook that who would like, because no one can buy yeast anymore. So I said, well, you don't need yeast to make sourdough. So I've got connected with 50 different people, helping them in this, that be still not socially, we're disconnected, but not socially disconnected. We still connect. And yesterday I got a thing of kumquat marmalade from North Carolina from someone who loved my sourdough. So it gives the people an opportunity to reach out too, and they feel so good about helping someone else in their isolation. And so it's a win-win to reach out however you can.
Well, that's great advice, Mitch, and we really appreciate it. We want to thank our guest today, Dr. David Carroll. He's a clinical psychologist, and we also want to thank the host of Grief Chat, Mitch Carmody. And I got to hear his wife, Barb, too. This was a bonus day today. Thank you so much for calling in. And you are listening to another edition of Grief Chat on AM 1460 and FM 97.7 KDWA. In Hastings.
Smile, though your heart is aching. Smile, even though it's breaking. When there are clouds in the sky, you'll get by.